Hello, ahlan wa sahlan, and welcome to another episode of Arab Voices, coming to you from the studios of KPFT Houston since 2002, Houston's community station, 90.1 FM and FM HD1. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. This show is syndicated and it airs on other radio stations in different cities in the US and Europe. In this episode of Arab Voices, episode number 1062, we will continue our Nakba 75 special episodes, and I will be interviewing Saleh Diab, a Palestinian activist and one of the leaders of the struggle against expulsions of Palestinians from the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood in occupied East Jerusalem. Saleh Diab was jailed 20 times by the Israeli occupation forces but continues to resist, and his story speaks volume of the resilience and steadfastness of the Palestinians against the ongoing Israeli aggressions and attempts to force him and other Palestinians out of their homes from the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood in occupied Jerusalem. Saleh's family was forced out of their home in Jaffa in 1948, so for him and many other Palestinians, the Nakba is ongoing. In this episode, I will also speak with Batul Abu Harb with the Houston Palestine Film Festival about the upcoming film festival. But before I do that, I'd like to ask for your support and contributions to KPFT, this unique commercial-free Houston's community station, because KPFT is currently in membership drive, and that is a great opportunity to upgrade your listenership to listener sponsor and become a member of the KPFT family. KPFT is mostly financed by listeners like you, and it does not rely on the corporate world to operate, so please give us a call right now at 713-526-5738 and make that tax-deductible contribution to support your community radio station. That's 713-526-5738. You can also make a pledge online at kpft.org. This station, KPFT, is unique in so many ways. It offers a diverse range of programming like this program, Arab Voices, that has been on KPFT for over 21 years. Yes, 21 years of weekly programming. Hundreds of topics and over 1,000 expert guests appearing on this program from around the globe. I interview guests on this show, and I also attend events and lectures, record them, and air them. Several radio stations syndicate Arab Voices in different states in the US and even in a couple of cities in Europe. Arab Voices is an award-winning independent radio talk show that aims at bringing the truth, facts, and realities to the wide and diverse range of listeners. It debunks many of the stereotypes, myths, and false information disseminated by certain media outlets, some politicians, and others. There is more information about Arab Voices and even a list of all guests that appeared on this program, over 1,000 of them, on our website, arabvoices.net. There is also an archive section online for listening on demand to any of the previous shows. So if you appreciate what this station has been doing, I ask you to support it and keep Arab Voices and other programs on the air. Please make that call and make a pledge of any amount, whether it's $60 or $360. Call 713-526-5738 or make a pledge online at kpft.org. Your support is greatly appreciated. With all the things that are happening in the world today and the overwhelming information you are getting from different radio stations, TV channels, countless internet websites, and social media, you really want to understand what is happening and why. You don't want to rely on those commercial stations that are sponsored by paying corporations and others who try to push out misinformation. You want to know the real truth, and that's what KPFT offers. Please call now, 713-526-5738, or if it is more convenient, use our website, kpft.org. It is safe, secure, and easy to do. If you enjoy the variety of shows this Houston's community station 90.1 FM KPFT brings you, but aren't yet a member, please join us right now and become a member. It is people just like you that makes all this possible. Call now to pledge your support, 713-526-5738, or give online at kpft.org. Thank you very much. Joining us to talk about the upcoming Houston Palestine Film Festival is Batul Abu Harb with the Houston Palestine Film Festival. Batul, welcome to Arab Voices.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's good to have you on the show. Tell us, please, and our listeners, about the Houston Palestine Film Festival.
Yes, the Houston Palestine Film Festival was actually founded in 2007. So this year's festival will be our 16th annual film festival. The idea behind it was to create a non-political, non-religious, non-profit organization that would use art and film to share the stories of Palestinians and bring that beautiful culture and history and stories to the greater Houston population.
I have attended many of those festivals over the years, actually every single year since its inception 16 years ago. And it's really remarkable, truly amazing films that are being screened usually at the Houston Palestine Film Festival. And I think it's very unique. It's there are only very, very few, maybe one or two more in the United States.
I agree. There's one in Chicago, there's one in Boston, and I believe there's one in California. But as a strictly Palestinian film festival, not an Arab film festival, there are not that many in the United States. So that speaks to sort of the depth of Palestinian film. There's a really broad collection of films in Palestinian cinema. And every year, we have a really hard job of choosing films to screen at the film festival. But also it speaks to the growing population of Palestinian Americans in Houston and the community's desire to engage with this kind of culture and this kind of art. So it's truly unique in Houston. And every year we manage to have really remarkable films screened.
Yes, indeed. And you mentioned it's difficult. Do you want to elaborate more about that?
Yeah, we have so many excellent submissions, both feature films and short films from Palestinian directors that either live in the U.S. or mostly live in Palestine. And this year, actually, we had, I think, two of our feature films are award-winning films. One of our feature films is actually the film that the Palestine is going to be submitting to the Academy Awards for the International feature film section award. So we have some pretty remarkable films that are going to be screened this year.
And we will talk about those films that are scheduled to be screened in Houston shortly. You mentioned those are award-winning. Last year, I attended the film festival, and I recall the film Farha, which I know has won numerous awards over the years, and it's still being nominated for more awards. So what is the plan? Tell us first about maybe the dates and the locations of those, and then we'll talk about the actual films and the times and so on.
Sure. Because we have such a big demand for our films that we screen, and the festival has grown every single year. This is our 16th year, which is really amazing. I think we only had 1 year off for COVID, and we managed to pick back up last year where we left off. We have our film festival taking place over two weekends. So the first weekend is being hosted at the Museum of Fine Arts Houston, and that'll be Friday, June 2nd and Saturday, June 3rd. And then the second weekend will be at the Rice University Cinema, and that's Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June 10th. So we'll be screening the same films again that second weekend at the Rice Cinema.
So that's really convenient for attendees, two different locations over two weekends, and they can choose whatever best location for them and or the dates also.
You have the opportunity to see all the films over two weekends. So yes, it's a great advantage this year.
So the first weekend, June 2nd and June 3rd at the Museum of Fine Arts Houston, that's in obviously in the Museum District close to downtown Houston. What is going to be screened over there?
So our first film is on Friday night, and it's called Gaza Weekend. It's going to be screened at 7 p.m. It's personally my favorite film that we're screening this year. The idea behind it is very funny, very timely. There's a viral outbreak that reaches the entire world, much like the COVID-19 pandemic. And the only place on the entire earth that is spared is the Gaza Strip because of the blockade. And it tells this really funny story about two Israeli citizens that try to sneak into the Gaza Strip to avoid the pandemic. And it really highlights all of the difficulties of living in Gaza and talks a lot about the Israeli-Palestinian relationship, the occupation, but in a really humorous way. And I think people will really enjoy this film. So I'm excited for this to be our opening film on Friday night.
So that's Friday night would be June 2nd at the Museum of Fine Arts Houston, and also June 9th at Rice University Cinema, the same movie, right?
That's right.
And then on Saturdays?
Saturday, we have two excellent feature films. At 3 p.m. on Saturday, we have Mediterranean Fever, or Humma Bahra al-Mutawassit. That is actually the official submission of Palestine for the Best International Feature Film at the Academy Awards this year. So we're really excited to be able to screen that film. It's a really beautiful story of two men that live in Haifa that come from really kind of different backgrounds. And they kind of work together. You see really the difficulties of living under occupation, but also the humanity of being Palestinian and what that means to different people in different life circumstances. So we're excited about the film. It's really beautiful, but we're also really excited to show how excellent and extraordinary Palestinian cinema is, because this is the Oscar submission for Palestine this year.
Interesting. And one more movie will also be screened on Saturday, June 3rd and June 10th.
That's right. And then also to mention about Mediterranean Fever, it also won the best screenplay at the Cannes Film Festival. So
wow.
I think really if you want to catch any film, that's going to be the one to watch. But our closing film also on Saturday at 7 p.m., we have a film called Alam, directed by Firas Khoury. And that is an award-winning film. It won three awards at the Cairo International Film Festival. So we're really excited about that. It's a great coming-of-age story about teenagers also kind of navigating living in occupation, experiencing maybe love and peer pressure. So that's going to be a great film. And there's two opportunities to see it, that June 3rd at 7 p.m. and then June 10th at 7 p.m.
Alam is the Arabic word for flag, right?
Exactly, exactly.
So three major films, two weekends. And I also know that you will be screening several short films, if you can tell us about those.
Yes, we have three really wonderful short films. There's Palestine 87, we have Angel of Gaza, and Last May in Palestine. They're all really great short films in the 10 to 20 minute length range. And we're hoping to kind of break up the program with these films. They all have a really unique perspective, talk about different facets of Palestinian life. So these are really strong films as well. We're excited to have them.
By the way, when I was looking at the details on your website, which we will mention shortly, Last May in Palestine, short film, directed by Rabia Eid. Rabia Eid I've had on my program as a guest back in 2013.
Wow.
10 years ago, because he stood up to President Barack Obama when he was delivering a speech in Jerusalem and asked him some really tough, great questions at that time. So he made headline news around the world.
His film is really excellent. It talks about the murder of Shirin Abu Aqle, the Palestinian-American journalist, last year. So I think it's kind of a really poignant film, a really timely film, ties in with all the other narratives that are being explored in our films. So it's a good one, not one to miss.
Yeah, so that's why it's referencing Last May in Palestine, because as you mentioned, Shirin Abu Aqle, the Palestinian American citizen journalist, was murdered by the Israeli occupation forces in May of last year in occupied Palestine. So that would be very interesting to watch. And for people that need more information about the Houston Palestine Film Festival and the schedule again and the details, could you share the website for for the Palestine Film Festival?
Yes, it's hpff.org. On there, you will find a full agenda, all of the films, the trailers are on there. We have a description of the film and then information about our directors as well for the films.
Very well. Well, I'm looking forward to attending the Houston Palestine Film Festival again this year. So the website again is www.hpff.org. And we have a link to that on our website, arabvoices.net. Batul, any last word you'd like to share with our listeners?
I'm really excited to see everybody in the next couple of weekends, to meet everybody, to get feedback on these films. Gaza weekend, if I'm not mistaken, is its opening screening in the United States will be at our film festival. So we're really excited and proud to have that. And we're excited to, you know, just share this really beautiful selection of Palestine films.
Excellent. June 2nd and 3rd at the Museum of Fine Arts Houston, and June 9th and 10th at Rice University Cinema. Again, the details for all the films and the schedule are posted at www.hpff.org. Betul Abu Harb with the Houston Palestine Film Festival was joining us to talk about it. We really appreciate your time, Betul. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure.
You're listening to Arab Voices, coming to you from the studios of KPFT Houston since 2002. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Shortly, I will air an interview I conducted with Saleh Diab, a Palestinian activist and one of the leaders of the struggle against expulsions of Palestinians from the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood in occupied Jerusalem. Saleh's family was forced out of their home in Jaffa in 1948, so for him and many other Palestinians, the Nakba is ongoing. My interview with Saleh Diab is part of Arab Voices Nakba 75 special episodes we are airing during the months of May and June 2023 as we commemorate the 75th anniversary of the ongoing Palestinian Nakba or catastrophe. But before I do that, I'd like to remind you that KPFT, Houston's community station, is currently in fund drive, and because KPFT relies on your support to operate, I am asking you to please call us right now and make a tax-deductible contribution. During this membership drive, please make a gift in support of the wide variety of shows that matters more than ever on KPFT. Please give online at kpft.org or call 713-526-5738. Members are the single most important source of funding for 90.1 FM KPFT. Why don't you call right now to make your membership investment and become a part of that important source? 713-526-5738, or you can give online at kpft.org. And if you make your membership a sustaining one, you'll be supporting the station for years to come. 713-526-5738 or kpft.org. This program, Arab Voices, has been on KPFT for over 21 years, coming to you every week covering various topics with over 1,000 expert guests appearing on this program from around the globe. I interview guests on this show, and I also attend events and lectures, record them, and air them. Several radio stations syndicate Arab Voices in different cities in the U.S. and even a couple of cities in Europe. So if you appreciate what the station has been doing, I ask you to support it and keep Arab Voices and other programs on the air. Please make that call and make a pledge of any amount, whether it's $60 or $300. Call 713-526-5738 or make a pledge online at kpft.org. Your support is greatly appreciated. During the last three episodes of Arab Voices, Hanan Awad hosted interviews with Salman Abu Sitta about the Palestinian Nakba and the right of return, and she also spoke with Rana Barakat about Lifta Village. Her interviews were part of our Nakba 75 special episodes we are airing during the months of May and June 2023 in commemoration of the 75th anniversary of the ongoing Palestinian Nakba. And in this episode of Arab Voices, I will air an interview I conducted with Saleh Diab, a Palestinian activist and one of the leaders of the struggle against expulsions of Palestinians from the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood in occupied Jerusalem. Saleh Diab was jailed 20 times by the Israeli occupation forces, but he continues to resist, and his story speaks volume of the resilience and steadfastness of the Palestinians against the ongoing Israeli aggressions and attempts to force him and other Palestinians out of their homes from Sheikh Jarrah in occupied Jerusalem. Saleh's family was forced out of their home in Jaffa in 1948, so for him and many other Palestinians, the Nakba is ongoing. Joining us from Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood in occupied East Jerusalem is Saleh Diab, a Palestinian activist and one of the leaders of the struggle against expulsions of Palestinians from the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood in East Jerusalem. Saleh, welcome to Arab Voices.
Thank you, my friend, and thank you about what you make. It's good for everyone, for everybody.
We are very pleased to have you on the show. Tell our listeners a bit about the neighborhood where you live, Sheikh Jarrah, in occupied East Jerusalem, please.
My name is Saleh Diab. I am 52. I am married. I am living in Sheikh Jarrah. I have 5 children, small children. My family, they came for Sheikh Jarrah in 1948 after they lose it. The Nakba Day, like all the families for Palestine in the Nakba Day. So they came for Sheikh Jarrah, and the sister for my mother, she was living in Sheikh Jarrah before the Nakba. They was in Sheikh Jarrah, the government of Jordan, and the families, all the families, 28 families, they was living in Sheikh Jarrah before. They lose it, all the families, the houses and the land in 1948. So when they came for Sheikh Jarrah, the families, they spoke for the government, Jordanian government, and the Jordanian, they spoke with the United Nations, UN, and the Jordanian, they gave us the land, and the UNRWA, they're building these houses, 28 houses. They beginning in 1953 and they finish in 1956. And the families, they beginning a new life after they lose the houses in 1948. But after many years, there was the next day, the occupation of Jerusalem. So where I live exactly, behind my home exactly, there was Shanti family. There was a war 6 days, and they afraid about the war. They go to visit the family in Kuwait. When they come back to her home, they lose it, the house. So they lose the first house in Jerusalem, in Sheikh Jarrah, Shanti family. And you have another thing, cave behind my home. This cave for Hijazi family, and he died in this cave. But after the next day, the Israel occupation, they changed the name for Hijazi family to Shamon Tzaddik. Who's Shamon Tzaddik? It's Jew man, it's good man. And after what I reading about the occupation, and one day I sit with somebody in 1948, and he learned me something. The Israel occupation in 1956, they make law about the places if they want to steal something from old Palestine. Like example, like Qabr Yusuf in Nablus, or Qabr Rahil in Beit Lahem, or Qabr Masjid Ibrahimi in Hebron. So everybody can check who Shamon Tzaddik. So you can see Shamon Tzaddik in Sheikh Jarrah, Shamon Tzaddik in Tiberia, Shamon Tzaddik everywhere. So after that, in 1972, the settlers, they came for the families, and they tell him this land for the Jew. And the story about Sheikh Jarrah beginning in 1972. So the families, they put one layer Jew man, and 11 families, they sign for this layer, and the families, you have many families, they are afraid to sign for this lawyer because he's Jew. And in 1976, there was the first court about 4 houses in Sheikh Jarrah. And the settlers, they lose it, this court. They continue day after day, years after years. But in 1993, this lawyer, he died. And the families, another time, they put another lawyer, but this time it's Arab man from 1948 from Emil Fahim. Her name Saleh Abu Husni. Saleh Abu Husni. But this man, when he go to the court, so what he saw in the court, this lawyer, he was joking and he was playing about the families. So he put the land for the Jew and the houses for the families. And I want to tell you, and for everybody to hear, the settlers, they don't have any papers about the land. They don't have anything. But the families, they have everything. The papers from 1953, they took from the Jordanian. But the settlers, they don't have nothing. They said they buy this land from 1872 from the Ottomanim. And you know, and everybody know, in the Ottomanim, they have law, nobody can buy Christian or Jew from the Ottomanim. So how they buy this land? So every time they liar about everybody, and I don't believe in the Israel court, because the judge is settlers, and the court and the bullet behind the settlers. So in 2008, they, one from these families, they was in the court, and they lose it, the court. Her name is Kamel El-Kurd, and they, one day in the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, they came for my neighborhood, thousands of soldiers with horses, with dogs. They close all the shajara, and they go inside. They throw all the families outside. I beginning to work in this time. I have where I live exactly 500 meters where I live. Big land. It's empty for Arab man. I speak with him. I tell him I want to put a tent for this family. He tell me, welcome, you can. So I put this tent, I make a tent, and I put this family in the tent. But after 10 days, the husband for Kamel El-Kurd, he die. So all the news, they beginning to came to coming to Shajarah to hear the hearing about this woman. She lose the house, and after 10 days, the husband, he died. So all the time, every time they come, beginning to coming the news, and they coming everybody to Shajarah to see what's going in Shajarah. The same time, the soldier with the police, every day they came in for this event, they're beginning to hit the women, the girls, the boys, us, and they took everything. And every time when they coming, they catch me and they put me in the jail. So after that, after 4-8 hours, they give me to go away from my home, 20 days, 10 days, every time another thing. Because that I was 20 times in the jail, and I was 10 times I can't coming to my home, to my family. In the same time, in 2009, there was court about two families, Rao family and Hanun family. And the same thing what they make, they close the all the neighborhood, and they going in here, in the house, that this time they put a bomb where the windows, where the doors, and they go inside, and they beginning to throw the families outside. So the Ghawi family, there was the Ghawi family, 42 people inside, and the Hanun family, there was 20 people inside, three brothers. So another time, the news, all the news in all the world, they coming another time to hear about what's going in Shajarah. And another time, the story about Shajarah beginning. So exactly where I live, you have big trees, I put this family, Gawi family, where the trees, they living 6 months in the street, eating, sleeping, all the news they coming to visit, all the people they coming to visit. So the groups they coming to see this family in the same time is Hanun family. They sit in the street 6 months. But this time, the settlers, the police and the government behind the settlers, they give six families for the settlers to come where the Gawi family they living, and the Hanun family is the three families. And every minute, every hour, they, the settlers, they beginning to throw stone about us, and the police, they came, and they beginning to throw, to hit everyone, and to another time, to took me to the jail. And one day, one from these settlers, he opened the machine gun, and he want to kill everyone. So I catch him, I catch the machine gun, and I call the police, but the police, he came, he don't make anything for the settlers, but me and Nasser Gawi, they give us 20 days to come to Sheikh Jarrah. So in 2009, in the same time, they give 11 houses to living in the court. So it's the same story, it's the same thing. After that, years after year, in 2008-2009, I beginning to make demonstration every Friday. And I beginning with five friends, Jew friend, and a free friend. They coming from all the world to visit, and they saw, and I beginning to working. So at before 2 days, I continue every Friday demonstration. But when I be in the jail, the friend, they coming alone in, and they making demonstration every Friday. So every day, every minute in Sheikh Jarrah now, it's very dangerous about the families, because the settlers, they have the machine gun. The family, all the families, they afraid. The boys, when they go to school and they come back, they afraid. You can't leaving the your home alone because they afraid the families, the settlers, they can't going inside, and they can took the house, because that you living, you sleeping, you afraid. When you come back up in the morning, you afraid. If you go to work, every time you thinking about your home, you afraid about your family. So just before 2 years, there was court about seven families. So the beginning, the settlers, they go to Aqsa Mosque, and after that they go to Bab el Amud, and after that they came to Sheikh Jarrah. And the beginning, big problem in Sheikh Jarrah. And after that, I don't know if you know what happened in 1948 in Lod, and there was in Gaza world about Sheikh Jarrah. So in this time, every minute, every day, the soldier with the police, they broke my door, and they go inside. They throw gas about my family. The first day I took my sister, she old girl, to hospital. And after 24 hours, they come back. They broke my leg, and I was in the hospital. After 2 days, they come back in the night, and they broke all my leg, my hand, all my body. So after 3 days, they come back and they took me to the jail. I was 5 days in the jail, and after that, they give me 20 days to be, I can't coming to my home. After what happened and all the world and the Jordanian, they push about the Israel government and the United Nations and all the world, they pushing about the Israel court, they stop to give these four families to leave. And after 3 months, this another time, they push these three families, they can't push. And the court, they tell him, nobody can leaving the houses now. But they came another time last year, and after what happened, it's quiet now in Sheikh Jarrah, about the houses. You have another seven families in the court. My home, after 10 days after now, from this day, 10 days, I have court about my home. Another two houses you have, there was in the court now. So what's going in Sheikh Jarrah exactly? You have about 120 families, they're living in Sheikh Jarrah, about 2,000 people. They want to took all the houses. You have where I live, you have 45 families now. They want to took all the land, and they want to building for the settlers 220 houses for the settlers. And is the same thing is another site for Sheikh Jarrah, where Fatma Salem she living. They want to building is the same thing. You have there 100. You have 75 families they living there. They want to took the land, and they want to put the settlers there. So what going exactly in Jerusalem now? Who thinking the Nakba Day stopping in 1948 or the beginning for 1948? You're wrong. Every day you have in Palestine a Nakba. You have every day you have Nakse. Every day they're stealing the houses. Every day they're stealing the land. Every day they're killing the people in Jenin, in Nablus, in Gaza, in Khalil. Every day. And every day they go to Aqsa Mosque, and you know what going, this is the Aqsa for the Muslim. Nobody care in all the world about what going in Palestine, because all the governments in all the world, they give the Israel occupation the machine gun, and they give him the money. In this years, I sitting with the American people from the government. I sit with the French people. I sitting with the British, Sweden, Norwegian, Canada. From all the world, they coming to my home, and I sit with this people and ask. I ask him, it's enough the occupation. Nobody. It's not good for anybody. The Israel occupation, they're killing, and you, every time, you must to stop him, and you give him the machine gun. Because that I don't believe for anybody now. I don't believe in United Nations. I believe you must to fight to take what you want.
Saleh, your story is that of resistance and steadfastness and resilience against this brutal Israeli military occupation and this Zionist settler colonial project. Now, you mentioned that it is an ongoing Nakba, and you said it's a mistake to think that the Nakba was in 1948 only. Of course, your family, your parents, as well as many others, they were actually forced to leave their homes in Jaffa in 1948, and you all have settled and have been living in Sheikh Jarrah since the 1950s, you mentioned, and now you are being threatened by the Israeli so-called court system to be expelled from your houses to give them to settlers, to build colonies, Israeli colonies on top of them. What, I mean, it's a horrific situation with this ongoing Nakba against the Palestinians. What exactly, what keeps you going? I mean, this is unbelievable story that you are sharing with our listeners. What keeps you going and resisting and fighting against this brutal military occupation and their plans to take over your house and other houses in occupied East Jerusalem?
Look, my friend, I want to tell you something. When my mother and my father, in 1948, they lost the house in Jaffa, like example, like all the families in Palestine, 531 village, the Israel occupation, the killing, the stealing, and before this, the British, there was the occupation for Palestine. And before, you don't have TV or technology like now, like today. But today, you have every day, every minute, every hour, they're killing, they're stealing, they will make more and more and more. Just before 2 days, 3 days, there was the flag of Israel in Bab el Amud, and they hit the women, and they hit the old woman and the children, and they don't give anybody to go in the old city. So the Israel occupation, apartheid of Palestine, what you going, what going in Palestine is apartheid. You don't see all the occupation on all the world finish, but Israel occupation, they continue. When they speaking before 27 years about Oslo, two countries, 1948 and 1967, and I don't want this, because this my land, this my country. They killed my family before 1948, and they killing every day in my people, and what they stealing every time. Okay, I tell okay. My government in Ramallah, they want 1967, and the Arab, they want peace. Okay. I want to see my country in Gaza, in Jenin, in Nablus, everywhere you can building a new houses, a new life, a new life. But the Israel occupation, they continue with the apartheid every day. You don't believe what going in Jerusalem, what going in Nablus, what going. The settlers, they make more and more. You have 1 million people, settlers in Nablus, in Al-Khalil, in Dafar Ghabiyya. So in Jerusalem, you have 300,000 people in they living in Jerusalem. But the Israel government, and now in this time, you have Ben Gvir and Netanyahu and Smotrich. This they speaking the truth. They don't want Arab. They want to throw the Arab to Jordan. But the big problem for me, all the government in all the world, and they saw what going exactly, and nobody care about us. Just before 4 days, there was Mahmoud Abbas in the United Nations, and they tell him, the United Nations, they took 1,000 law about the Israel occupation, and nobody care about this. So, you afraid when you be in your home, in the street, you afraid. Which life you have? Just before 2 years, my mother, she died. And just before 3 months, my father died. So every time my mother and my father, they tell me, what going? You thinking one day you come back to Jaffa? I tell them, no, mama. She died and my father died. And their dream for him to come back to Jaffa. But like all the families, you have now 8 million people outside Palestine, and they want to come into Palestine. So why the Israel they killing, they stealing, and they make what they want, and nobody care. Who behind the Israeli occupation? Not the American. Who give the Israeli occupation the machine gun? Not the American. Not the British. Not the France. They give them the money and the so. The big problem not only with the Israel occupation, and I want to tell you something very important thing. I don't have any problem with the Jew. I don't have any problem with the Jew. Every time and in the news, when I speaking in the TV, every time I don't have any problem with the Jew. Before 1948. The Jew, they was in Maghreb, they was in Iraq, they was in Masa, Egypt, they was in Nigeria, in Tunis. I have big problem with the occupation.
Yes, definitely. A brutal military occupation. Now, where does it stand? You mentioned a few minutes. By the way, you were jailed. You mentioned that you have been in jail. The Israeli occupation forces put you in jail before, right? Several years ago?
Every time they put me in the jail. I was in the jail 20 times.
Wow, 20 times you've been jailed by the Israeli occupation forces.
Yes, and just before any Friday, the police, they came for me and they tell me, if you took the flag, Palestinian flag, I put you in the jail. I tell him, you can make what you want.
Because now they are prohibiting Palestinians or anybody from raising the Palestinian flag. They think the Palestinian flag by itself is a major threat, that they will be imprisoning anyone who raises a Palestinian flag, right?
Well, they're afraid about the flag now.
So where does it stand with your situation and your house in Sheikh Jarrah in occupied East Jerusalem? You said there is another, because there have been several court hearings, and there is another one in early June or so. What happens if they, are they going to like decide whether you stay in your house or you are to be forcibly expelled from it? What happens after that?
My friend, the Israel occupation, they have planned about Sheikh Jarrah for Jerusalem, exactly. But they beginning in from Sheikh Jarrah, and after that, they want to go neighborhood after neighborhood. Like, example, Sheikh Jarrah, the beginning in Sheikh Jarrah. Alhamdulillah, thanks God, I stop what they want, this land, because I make demonstration every Friday. So it's like the cancer in your body. So the beginning in Sheikh Jarrah, and after that, Wadi Jos, and after that, Sawane, and after that, Jabal Zaytun, after that, Ras Al Amud, after that, Jabal Mukabbir, and after that, Silwan, and the old city. If you know the plan about what I'm speaking, the Aqsa Mosque and the old city, it's what they want. And all behind the Aqsa Mosque, they want to took everything, to throw the families out, and they want to bring the settlers for Jerusalem. I tell you before, you have now like 575,000 Arab people they have from Jerusalem. But if you took your home, you can't be in Jerusalem, because they don't give anybody to building. And so because that, you can go after the world, what they're building this world. So every time, so if they took and they steal your home, so they bring new settlers for your neighborhood. So the Jerusalem, they lose one family from Arab, and the Israel, they took the new home and they building where you live, 10 building big building, and they bring 10 families for Jerusalem. You don't have law in Israel. I think Israel, it's mafia. Every time, every minute, every second, you have a new law. So why the Israel, they can took my home in Sheikh Jarrah, but I can't come back to Jaffa, my home, and I have all the beggars like me and like all the families in Sheikh Jarrah or in 8 million people. Why they can't come another time to 1948? So the Israel government, they have two laws. One for the Jew, they can make what they want, which time they want, but you can't do it nothing. You're waiting, inshallah, to change everything in Palestine.
Inshallah, it is truly an apartheid discriminatory system, the Zionist settler colonial project Israel in occupied Palestine with armed Israeli forces and armed Israeli colonizers that terrorize Palestinians, not just in occupied Jerusalem, but really throughout occupied Palestine, wanting to steal their homes, part of the ongoing ethnic cleansing of Palestine, as you mentioned, Saleh, part of the ongoing Nakba in occupied Palestine. And it's unbelievable, the story, especially, again, the steadfastness and resilience amongst the Palestinians, including yourself as a symbol of this true bravery against the Israeli occupation and what it's trying to do in occupied Palestine. Any last word or any other information you'd like to share with our listeners, Saleh?
Yes, two things. The first thing, in 2010, they came to visit my neighborhood, Mr. Jimmy Carter, the president of U.S. before. And I tell him, sorry, I can't speak with you because when you be the president, what you make for my people, for Palestine. The second thing, I want to speaking with the American people. I don't have any problem with the American people. I have thousands of millions of friends in the American and in all the world, alhamdulillah, thanks God. Your government, they killing my people, who killed 33 people just before last week in Gaza. Your government, and they give the machine gun and they give the Israel occupation everything to kill my people. So I speak with all the friends in America. You must to be behind us to stop the occupation. Nobody can stop the occupation without your help and without you, all the world, to be with us. Now, today, the Palestine is very dangerous in Palestine because the settlers, they continue to killing every day. So thinking about, if one day somebody came to America and they steal your home, what you want to make? So I know one day they shoot me. So I don't afraid. Every time they tell me, the settlers, they want to kill me, I don't afraid. Because now when I beginning the administration, every Friday, I make, alhamdulillah, and I feel big change in Europe, in America now. Just before 2 years, I make my home, a big demonstration in San Francisco, and there was 1 million people in this demonstration. I make big demonstration in France too, in the British, in Sweden. So I feel you have big change, and inshallah, to be peace for everybody and for everyone. And thank you very much, my friend.
Saleh Diab, a Palestinian activist and one of the leaders of the struggle against expulsions of Palestinians from the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood in East Jerusalem, was speaking with us from Sheikh Jarrah in occupied East Jerusalem. Saleh, our prayers, thoughts, and solidarity are with you, your family, and all Palestinians as they bravely refused to be forcibly displaced from their own homes by the Israeli occupation forces. It is a true honor to get to know you. We are grateful for your time. Thank you very much.
You're welcome every time, my friend.
Thank you. Take care.
Inshallah.
What you just heard was an interview I conducted with Saleh Diab, a Palestinian activist and one of the leaders of the struggle against expulsions of Palestinians from the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood in occupied East Jerusalem. It is part of Arab Voices Nakba 75 special episodes we are airing during the months of May and June 2023 as we commemorate the 75th anniversary of the ongoing Palestinian Nakba or catastrophe. Over the next few weeks, I will air more special episodes hosted by Hanan Awad, interviewing more distinguished guests, including Yasser Abu Jamia in Gaza on mental health under occupation, Marwa Tibi in Taibi on film and identity in Palestine, and Salim Tamari in Ramallah with a virtual return to Jaffa. You're listening to Arab Voices, coming to you from the studios of KPFT Houston since 2002. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Did you know that this program, Arab Voices, has been on the air since April 2002? That's right, over 21 years of weekly Arab Voices programming, over 1,000 episodes covering different topics, with more than 1,000 expert guests appearing on this show from around the globe. All of that has been possible because of your support to KPFT, Houston's community station, our community radio station. And it is time for the membership drive. Please call right now to support KPFT at 713-526-5738 and make a tax-deductible contribution or make it online at kpft.org. Every dollar counts. Think of the value you get out of KPFT and really for everyone who listens. We know that not everyone can contribute, but if you can and appreciate what KPFT brings you every day, please consider a pledge, because KPFT relies on you, the listeners, for support. The phones are open. There is room for your call. Help keep up the momentum. Call 713-526-5738 or do it online at kpft.org. I'd like to thank all who called in to support KPFT and Arab Voices. It's not too late. 713-526-5738 or make that tax-deductible contribution online at kpft.org. Thank you very much. You've been listening to Arab Voices, originating on KPFT Houston and syndicated on other radio stations in different cities in the U.S. and Europe. Our shows are archived online and you can listen to them by visiting arabvoices.net. And that does it for the show today. Thanks for listening. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Until we meet next week, peace on earth.